Amen. How is your soul tonight? Could you confidently sing that song and mean the words? Could you do that tonight? We talked all up until this night here, all day yesterday, talking about the problems of life and the situations we often find ourselves in, and how God, through His Word, has called us to rise above our problems and to be God-focused people. And even though the world might seem like it's crashing down around us, we are called to still be at peace. How's your soul tonight? I hope that you think about that tonight as we press through this, another lesson of gaining wisdom. And in particular, what we find in Psalm chapter 42 and 43. Reading of these two chapters reveals to us very clearly that David has come face to face with a common problem that most of us, if not all of us, face from time to time in our life. And that is the problem of depression. It's the problem of worry, great concern. And before you're so proud to say tonight that you are not somebody that worries or does not battle with a small bit of depression from time to time in your life, you might as well make your way to the front and assume the position to make the great confession that you are lying. We must be honest with God, and we must be honest with each other, and we definitely have to be honest with ourselves. This is a problem we all face from time to time. And I know that because we're going to talk about some Bible characters tonight, in particular, as we have been all week, as we center our main thoughts around David, a man after God's own heart, in which one of us could lie our lives beside the life of David and say that we are far greater than he. I think we're honest with ourselves. I think most of us would say, let's not even attempt to do that tonight. I also think sometimes when we speak of Bible characters, we speak in such a way that we paint them as superheroes. Men and women of outstanding faith, faith that we cannot reach in this day and in this time. And for that I say, we do not understand their lives, and we definitely do not understand even our own. The faith that we read about in scriptures, the faith that these men and women of great character that we find and read about from time to time, is the very character and strength that we too can have if we keep pressing forth. If we're honest with ourselves and we deal with the situations that unfold in our life very honestly and openly, we too can be men and women of great faith. I've said this before, there's not a person who is here tonight, not here before, but in other places, there's not a person who is here tonight that 100 years from now, the people, if time continues to exist and this congregation continues to grow, that you cannot be, that you, in your life, that you too can be talked about in past sense as somebody that was a pillar in this local congregation. That you were somebody of great outstanding faith. That you were somebody that dealt with the problems of life. Yes, at times you fell, you committed sin, you brought shame on the name of God, but you rose up out of that situation and you praised God and brought a great many of people to know about Jesus. When we read about these Bible characters, I want us to understand they were men and women that dealt with the same things that we deal with on a daily basis. They were called to be men of great faith, women of great faith. You are called to be a man of great faith, to be a woman of great faith, to have great influence on those around you. And when you fall down and when you commit sin, the same thing applies to you. God is calling you home. He's calling you to correct your ways. And so we have to be honest with ourselves and search ourselves each and every day of our lives to see where our soul stands with God. How's your soul tonight? We think about David, and we look in chapter 42, and in verse 5, it says this, "Why are you in despair, O my soul?" Verse 11 of the same chapter, "Why are you in despair, O my soul?" Chapter 43, and in verse 5, in the first part of that verse, it says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul?" And you thought you were the only one that ever looked in the mirror and said those same words. I know I have been that person who looks in the mirror and feels like I'm the only person that's ever confessed those words. You see, if not careful with each other, we paint ourselves as superheroes. I once had a situation with somebody I attended with. They said, "I didn't dare come and bring my faults before you before they were going to commit this great sin. I didn't dare come and talk to you about this because you wouldn't understand." I was very quick that night to go to my Heavenly Father in prayer and ask for forgiveness for coming across to somebody that I was filled with pride and that I was perfect. Brethren, we got to let our shields down with each other. We got to be honest with each other. Being honest with each other is the very thing. We tap into something that God has blessed us with, and that's a spiritual family. And may it never be found in our lives that we are portraying ourselves to be perfect and holy and far greater than anybody else that worships with us in the congregation. And leave the impression that somebody cannot come to you and talk to you because you've never made a mistake in your life. David's very honest with God and where he's at this point in his life. And what we all need to understand is you are not alone if you struggle with worry and concern, if you battle with depression. Christians are not immune to those sinful things. It hits us and hits us hard. The fact is, when we study Scripture and you look into the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, you read about men like Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, David, Job. And you find these very people being guilty of the very same thing to which we read about in Psalm 42 and 43. For those of you that say you've never worried, you've never had depression in your life, even the Lord himself in the Garden of Gethsemane was concerned enough that his sweat became his blood. Knowing very well what he was about to suffer was in a mental agony. Let's be honest with each other. Let's be honest with God. Let's be honest with ourselves tonight as we enter into this study. How do we deal with depression? How do we deal with worry? How do we deal with deep concern in our lives? I think you'll find out as you listen to me more and more this week, I'm a big advocate of application. Understanding the text, but also using the text, be able to understand how to apply it in your life. If you battle with those things that we've talked about tonight, David lays before us tonight many reasons and many know-hows on how to deal with these situations of life, how to deal with worry, how to deal with concern, how to deal with depression. I think many of us are so quick, and I'll be the first one to admit there's been times in my life where I've had to seek medical attention and medical medicine to deal with my hardships of life. And I relied solely and completely on the doctors instead of relying on God Almighty. I'm not saying it's wrong to seek medicine for sicknesses, but what I am saying is, if that's where we're going first and that's where we're relying all the time, then we're missing out greatly on the help that God offers for us. And we'll talk about that tonight. Do you deal with those issues of life? If you do, listen attentively. And if you don't, listen attentively so you can put this before somebody else. These two chapters to which we'll look at tonight. I stop and think about that. I stop and think about how in the world do people who are Christians make it in this world? I think about all the hardships that people face. And me as a Christian, and I think about somebody that's not a Christian, they will face a lot of the things that I will face on a daily basis as well. The difference is, I have God in my life. He rules. He's first. He has my heart. I understand His promises. The person who's an alien sinner doesn't have the help of God, doesn't understand those principles. And I think to myself, how in the world do they make it? You ever thought about that? How in the world do the lost make it? And you begin to realize they are not making it, they are faking it. You begin to look at the statistics on the rise of depression in this world and the issuing of medicines. It's skyrocketing. They're not making it, they're faking it. And they are crying out for a redeemer. And it's our work. It's our work to get out there and teach them about Jesus. People in this world do anything to fill that deep dark hole in their soul. They become alcoholics. They become workaholics. They become drug users, seeking something to fill that pain, that big void that's in their soul. Some even seek entertainment, sports, hobbies, other different things to find peace. Some even within the ranks of God's people seek to fill that dark hole with church busyness. We do anything to escape the mask of pain and the void in our life. We do anything but turn to the very one that can fill that hole and heal our aching souls. Do I have your attention? I hope I do tonight. Let's get into the text. The first point I want to make tonight from Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 is stop looking at yourself and start looking to God. Are you somebody tonight that deals with worry? Are you somebody that has deep concern in your life? Are you somebody that deals with depression? One of the very keys that we find in this chapter in ruling that ugly thing that happens in our life is understanding that we need to turn our eyes from ourselves and start looking towards God. Why is David discouraged in this text? He is discouraged in verses 1 through 4 because his plans have not been fulfilled. Let's read some of this tonight together. Appreciate so much the songs that Zach led us in tonight. Great, wonderful words, and did such a good job tonight leading us in those songs. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Many of you can probably relate to that first line in verse 3. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Verse 4, these things I remember, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God. With a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. The psalmist here, David, longs and thirsts for the opportunity to go along with the throng. It's interesting when you look at that and you study that. There was an annual trip that the people of God would take to the temple in Jerusalem. But for some reason or another, we find here that the psalmist is unable to go along. And things have changed drastically for him. As we look into these first four verses, we begin to understand with David that not only did he go, but he was one of the ones that led the procession to the house of God. But no more. Think about his great disappointments, the pain, as he paints this picture for us of a deer panting for the water brooks. I don't know if it's a true assessment or not. I remember listening to somebody talk about this first verse here, and he talked about how a deer, when it's wounded, will very quickly run to the nearest watering hole. Understanding that many times in that deer's life, that's where refreshing had taken place. And so David describes himself as this deer who pants for the water brook. His soul is in agony. I have a question for you. Have you ever made important plans in your life? Not just small plans, but very important plans, only to be denied of those plans. Those plans changed, not due to your change of mind, but for a situation that was out of your control. How did that leave you? It's something that you planned for a long time. You've looked forward to it, but yet that had not happened. It didn't unfold. I remember one time as my mother and myself were trying to rebuild our relationships, and she made some promises to me that she was going to come down and visit me in Kentucky. And these plans were made 8 months in advance. And for 8 long months, I longed for the day to come. And a few days before she was to get in the car and roll down the road from Canada to Kentucky, we got a call. Plans had changed. She wasn't coming. You talk about disappointment. You talk about discouragements. Something that was out of my hands. The point is this. As we fix and set plans, we need to also understand that we must leave room for God to do His work. And I think that's something that we forget in our plans, and why we get ourselves so much in a tizzy, and why we find ourselves in deep concern, and why we find ourselves overwhelmingly being concerned with a situation, and why we enter into depression. We leave no room for God. We have things figured out. We make our plans, and disappointment comes, and so the ugly circle continues in our life. I hope tonight, as we look at some scriptures, that you'll appreciate God's divine plan with dealing with worry, concern, and depression, and that more importantly, not just understand that, but that each and every one of us would commit ourselves to following God's plan. And I'll put before us that if we do that, I won't say that the problems of this life will disappear and fly away, but they will lessen greatly in our lives. It's exactly what James talks about in James chapter 4 in verses 13 through 15, where James records this for us today. Come now, you who say, Today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. It's the moral of this text. Is it wrong to make plans? No. Is it wrong for us to look forward to our plans being fulfilled? No. The moral of this is when we make plans, let's also understand that God needs His space and His space is first in our plans. And if it works out, we thank God Almighty. If it doesn't work out, then we thank God Almighty for it not working out because there's some reason that it didn't unfold like we wanted it to. But see, that's not how we logically think when we deal with problems of this life, is it? Things don't work out like we want it to, and the very thing that we do is complain and whine and say, why did this happen to me? Instead of looking at ourselves and say, there's some reason why this happened, and God has it under control, and it will all work out like He wants it to. And it will be far greater than I imagined. Think about, and make it maybe a little bit more applicable to us here in the local congregation. So we think and we read this text in Psalm 52 and Psalm 53. Think about those that are older in the faith. The older saints that worship here in Nevada, and in particular in Sparks. I know something that I've missed for many years of my life as a Christian, as a young person in the body of Christ, and as I've been part of many different local congregations, I've overlooked the disappointment and the discouragements that the older people in the congregation have felt and are dealing with. As they look down upon the older, younger congregation and the younger people of the congregation, they see people with life and enthusiasm. They're able to teach classes. They're able to walk up and down the stage to get up on, walk up the stairs to get on the stage. With no thought at all. And for us as a younger generation, it's hard for us to imagine that stairs would become an obstacle for those that are older in the faith. But they are. We need to realize that. I think the idea of worry and concern and depression, it will hit us as younger, being younger in the faith, just as much as it'll hit the older generation. But what's interesting to me, I've talked to somebody this past week, they said the idea of worry and concern is not as great for them in their life now than it was when they were younger. That person's maturing as a Christian. They're getting what David's talking about here. But I've talked to a lot of older people and they are concerned. They deal with depression. They deal with concern because they're burying their friends, their childhood people that they grew up with, their husband, their wife, some even their children and their grandchildren. And it's hard. It presses on them. Health is failing. Ones that used to be able to preach the gospel now sit in the seats and listen to others, having the heart and desire to still do it. But their bodies are failing. What do we do with a situation like that? I know what we do as young people. Most times we make plans with other young people. We be about our business. We get together when worship service is called together and we hear that brother or sister so-and-so who's failing in health, are sick, and they're unable to get out, and we say a prayer about their situation, and then we're quick to make more plans with other younger people. I don't mean to be hard on the young people. There's a lot of good young people here, I know that. But shame on us for having that attitude. Shaming us for not having the heart of David here and being concerned for those who are ailing in health, those who are dealing with discouragements in this life. Far be it from us from being removed from the situation so much that we care nothing, and really proof is in the pudding, right? We could tell somebody we love them all day long, but until we extend our hand and are active with our life, it means very little. Think about this for those of you who are married tonight. If your husband told you time and time again, 20 times a day he told you that he loved you, but he never followed through with action, how long would it take you in your minds to doubt his love for you? Wouldn't take long, would it? What about a child that's raised in a godly home, but never has a father get on his hands and knees and play with his child, but he hears his father tell him time and time again, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Think that child understands what's going on? You see, sometimes we get so distracted with our own life that we fail to appreciate others are hurting and suffering. We're so concerned about our wants and our desires that we're not looking around and we're not in tune with others around us. David was not that person. Yes, he questioned. Yes, he dealt with this same thing that we're talking about tonight. Yes, he had plans, great plans, that would not come to fulfillment. But that didn't stop him from pushing through. There's another reason why David was discouraged. Why he was somebody that was dealing with great concern, great worry, great despair, great depression, however you want to refer to it. In verse 3, we find it said and recorded for us in Psalm 42, my tears have been my food day and night. Has that been you? I remember I was about 18 years old. And the only time I could remember before 18 crying was about when I was 13 years old. So from 13 to 18, I didn't shed a tear. And I was proud of that as a man. And I remember getting a little teacup bunny. I don't know if you know what those are. Little bunny rabbits that don't grow very big. Fit inside a teacup. And I remember spending a lot of time with that little rabbit. I taught an after-school program in a school system. I had the rabbit in there. I spent a lot of time with it. It brought great joy to the children. I think that's why I love that rabbit so much. Had that rabbit for several years. I came in one day, and the rabbit was having seizures and died. And I don't know what happened to me. I don't know really what it was. I guess it was probably the great disappointment that I saw in the children's face as they watched this little rabbit die. And I saw the heartache and concern in their eyes. And I cried for several days. What about you? Have you lost a pet? Maybe even make it a little bit more serious. A brother or a sister. Mother or father. Grandmother. Maybe it's been church problems. And you've agonized about that. And you can sympathize with what we're reading about here in this text and in this moment in time in verse 3 where it says, my tears have been my food day and night. It really paints a picture to us of what David's going through because many of us have felt the same pain. We have spent many days and many nights shedding tears over a certain situation, and we are very quick to be able to recall those feelings, those hurts, those pains. He was discouraged because his feelings had not been relieved by God Almighty. He's also discouraged in verses 5 and verse 9 because his questions had not been answered. Let me read those verses for you. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. Verse 9. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Why? You ever had something happen in your life and that's where you've jumped to? Why me? Why is this happening? I feel like that little character on Charlie Brown sometime with the little rain cloud over his head, and with every step I take, it just seems like it's raining. There's another situation, another issue I have to work through. It just seems like that for me sometimes. It's felt like that for the last 3.5 years for me. That this cloud is over top of me and there's a constant rain falling on my head. And it gets wearisome after a while. Maybe that's been you. And we far be it from us to question why. What's interesting is there's no record of God ever giving an answer to these questions. What's interesting, you look at verse 7. Deep calls the deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and all your waves have rolled over me. Even the beauty that David is looking at brings him to his knees, and he doesn't find the beauty in what he's looking at, but he finds the destruction. Do you get where David's at here? Do you understand his feelings? This great concern he has? Have you ever felt like a water is rolling over and you are just drowning in your issues in this life, the problems that you are faced with? David understood, and that's where he's at. But in the midst of all this chaos, in all of this, in verse 5, he says, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. He understood only God would be able to set him free and give him a song in the night. Have you ever been somebody that's been struggled to get to sleep at night? We talked a little bit about this yesterday, and we suggested maybe counting your blessings, that might be a thing. There's a reason why I asked for the song Hit As Well With My Soul tonight. I probably distracted Zach as he was leading singing, because I was back there smiling as big as a kid in a candy store. I don't know how many nights in my life where I've dealt with the hardships in life that I've laid in bed and sang that song, It Is Well With My Soul. Understanding that when I laid my head down that night and I woke up the next day, the same problems would be there. It is well with my soul. How can somebody live like that? How could somebody in David's situation, dealing with so much hardship and heartache in his life, how could he rise above that? How could he get himself out of this great pit into this loving care of God where he is filled with contentment and zeal again? I'll tell you, it's not because of himself, but it's because of who God is. See, the important thing as we go through troubles and we go through hardships in this life is not to be focused on our troubles and our problems and to think, when will I get out of this situation? Instead, we should be thinking, what will I get out of this situation? What great lesson does God have for me in this situation? Although the situation might be horrible and bleak, I remember of a situation of a family who had a stillborn child. and being very acquainted with this family, coming home expecting to have a child, having the nursery all done, having all the little teddy bears there, receiving all the gifts that would welcome this child home, and come home and stand in the doorway of that room with great heartache and pain in their hearts. And I wondered to myself, what good can possibly come out of this horrible circumstance that they are facing? I'll tell you this. That family attests to 15 baptisms because of that situation. People coming into this family who were lost, wanting to encourage this family because of the heartache and the pain that they had in their life, but yet they rose above that situation, and when these people that were lost came in, they had great joy and zealousness for God, and they had peace that surpassed understanding, so much so that it caused these lost people to want to have that great joy that they had within their hearts. 15 people obeyed the gospel. Brothers and sisters in Christ around the world rallied around them, sent letters of encouragement to them, sent them money. It was just overwhelming for them, the care and concern that the brotherhood shared to them. You ask them now if they would change anything, which I did. They both said without blinking an eye, absolutely not. You see, people can do that and have that attitude when they stop looking at themselves and start looking to God. Secondly, we need to stop looking at the past and start focusing on the future. I think it's interesting with people in America today, I'll say Canada, I don't want to offend everybody. You all know I'm from Canada. If I say America, you might take issue with me. But there is a growing trend that's happening today. The fascination with the future. You remember the slogan that the president ran on just a few years ago? Change. People that didn't believe in him voted for him simply because of that slogan. People were tired of the way things were. They wanted change. We're fascinated with that. Oh, we've got change. We won't get into political issues here tonight. Change maybe that we didn't want. But we're fascinated with that. We're fascinated with change. But what we're also fascinated with is not letting go of the past. We have men who are well beyond their years of playing sports, but they get out there and try to play sports and they hurt themselves because they're doing what? Reliving what? Glory days. We have older men driving around red sports car. What in the world is he doing? Some of us are unwilling to let go of the past. We hold on to it. We long for it. And what's interesting about the psalmist here, he addresses both the past and the future struggles. Let's think about the past for just a second. There's a right way and a wrong way to deal with past. The right way is what we find in verse 6 in the first part. Let me read it again. Psalm 42 in verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, we all understand what therefore is there for, right? Because of everything that was said before this. And what's recorded in this very verse is that he is in despair, he's in with concern, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to conjure up in your mind, you don't want to say it's depression, it's deep concern, it's worry, whatever it is, he says this, amongst these feelings, amongst this great despair, therefore I remember you. The The right way to deal with problems of the past is to remember that God was there and He saw us through. Many of you have asked me this past week, what turned me around? You heard I was in gangs, what turned me around? There hasn't been one issue that's turned me around. There hasn't been one single thing in my life that made me decide to turn my life around. It was many different things. And it would take many different things to change me around. My heart was hard. I had a hard head. But one of those things was watching my friend die in my arms. I thought long and hard about that for many years. Tore up about that. Struggled with the idea of why not me? Why was it him? Why was it not me? And I come to the conclusion of what we find in here, that God looked down on me and He saw me through that situation. And so when I go through the hardships of life, I remember that moment in time and I say, He remembered me, I will remember Him. And so when I deal with the hardships of life, they're not as hard as maybe others would deal with the same situation. I take it a little less as more being serious, and I understand that God is there and He sees me through it. I remember the God that I serve in my hardships of life. There's a wrong way to deal with it. And the wrong way is this way. I'm not as healthy as I used to be. I'm not able to do the things that I once did. And those things are true. But someone once said this. The past must never become an anchor to hold us back. Our past must become a rudder to guide us forward. And I believe in that. So many of us walk around carrying our baggage of our past like an anchor, and we never get ahead, we never move forward because we're being held back from our past. I've had foster families make me eat off the floor. Be very easy for me to blame my situations in life and my hardships in life on my past. But you know what? I'm not going to let that hold me back. I'm not going to let it become an anchor for me serving God. It's going to become a rudder for me. It's going to steer me in the right direction. I'm going to use my past to help others as they deal with their situation. You see, there's a difference. Not letting our past eat us up, but using our past to push us forward. And I'm fearful that many of us in the church today don't understand that principle. We continue to make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. One of the great disappointments in my life is I was never adopted. Went through the foster care system, home after home after home after home. You know what? I can let that eat me up, or I can choose to look around and be concerned with the children that worship with me and the children I'm in contact with on a daily basis. You see what I'm saying? Don't let your past control you. Don't let your past hold you back from what God expects you to be and desires for you to be and what you can be. What about the future? So we wind this lesson down tonight. What about the future? David talks a little bit about that in Psalm 43. In verse 1, he talks about the idea that he knows God will give him the victory. Do you know that tonight? Don't raise your hands, because I know you're all dealing with issues in this life. How many of you have problems that are on your plate right now? Do you believe God's going to see you through that? It's one thing for us to say yes, and it's another thing for us to believe that God is there and He will see us through and He will give us the victory. One is all about words, and one's about sincerity of heart. And until we get to that place in our life where we believe it with all surety and we're sincere about our beliefs and we believe God will see us through, we'll be that person that constantly makes one mistake after another because we're fearful that God doesn't see us and He's missing something in our life, and we've got to figure it out ourselves. Remember the James text we read just a few moments ago? Get out of the way and let God win the victories for you. Do what you can do in your life and move out of the way and let God work in your life. Verse 2, David also understands and he knows that God will protect him. He also understands in verse 3 that God directs his life. And in verse 4, dealing with the future, he knows God will bring him great joy. Do you know that tonight? God wants all of those things for you. He wants victory. He wants protection. He wants to direct and he wants to give you joy. But you've got to submit. You've got to give him your problems. You've got to quit trying to fight those problems on your own and deal with those problems on your own and start relying on God. Point number 3, which I'm only going to read the title and say 5 quick things. Stop searching for reasons and start relying on promises. I tell you, that's a big thing. We all want reasons, don't we? Let me give you an example. Your car is having problems. If you're like me, the only thing you really know how to do is change the tires, put air in the tires, and make sure the windshield wiper fluid is full. Change wipers as well. You got a problem with your car. You take it to the mechanic. What are the questions you ask the mechanic? What's wrong? What's it going to cost? And when will it be ready? Right? Am I right with that? We don't ask when he tells us what's wrong. Okay, well, how many bolts are you going to take off? Are you going to put oil on that before you do? We don't ask those things. We don't need to know those things. I don't know why we're like that with our cars. And when it comes to our life, we feel that we deserve every answer in this life. Why is it somebody can't get pregnant that desires it more than anything? I don't know. But what I need to know is who I serve and who I'm to be thankful towards. Why is it life isn't working out? Why am I that little guy on Charlie Brown with the cloud over my head? I don't know, but I do know who I serve. And that's enough for me. We weary ourselves out looking for answers and looking for explanations. And what we need to do is quit doing that and relying on the promises of God, the very promises that David is making in this text for us. What are those promises? Psalm 42, in verse 1, God promises to provide for us. Does God provide for the deer? Does the cockroach go without a meal? Are we not more value than they? What about the lilies that are in the water? Are we not more, the birds that are in the air, are we not more value than they? Absolutely. Rely on the promises of God. The promise that he'll care for us. Psalm 42 and verse 8, the promise to always be faithful to us. Psalm 43 and verse 4, the promise to forgive us. Something that we struggle with for us to do in our own lives. Forgive ourselves. Psalm 42 and verse 6, God promises to be our strength and our refuge. And Psalm 43 and verse 3, God promises to lead us. We might not always know the answers, but we know who we serve. And so come whatever problems may, we remain faithful. We live with great courage, great strength, and great surety Because our faithfulness is not in ourselves, not in this world with our things, with our money, but is in the risen Savior. How's your soul tonight? Is it at peace? Or is your soul at torment tonight? Knowing that you want to be so much more than you are now, but not understanding how to get there. Don't let that eat you up. Don't let it eat you up. Trust in God, turn to Him, and He will provide. Does that mean the problems of this life will disappear and everything will be peachy keen as a Christian? No way. But what changes is, you don't walk alone anymore. You walk with God Almighty. And you walk with His family. A family that cares about each other. I'll tell you, if you turn to God, you will never be sorry for that decision. But I assure you, if you don't, it's a decision you will always regret. So look into your hearts tonight. Is there something you need to fix? Maybe it's you need to become a child of God tonight. Maybe that's you tonight. You've not become a child of God. You've not put your faith and trust in Him. You've not been baptized. And I tell you tonight, if you've not been baptized, then you've not been saved. You've not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's something that needs to desperately happen in your life tonight. So that you can leave this building tonight fully aware and assured that you are right with your Redeemer. And if the problems of this life set in and you lose your life tonight, you are safe in His hands. Are you willing to stand before this group and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? If you're willing to do that tonight, then we will baptize you. And God Himself will add you to His family. But the choice is yours tonight. It's not mine to make for you. It's definitely not God's. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. You have to make that decision. And I pray that you will tonight. You might be sitting there and saying, well, how do I do it? When do I do it? We're going to stand and sing a song in just a moment. You can come to the front while we're singing that song. Make it made known tonight that you want to be right with God. Or you can raise your hand. Wave it pretty good. Sometimes I miss it. But the important thing is that you get right tonight. If you're here and a Christian, you've not been living right. You've not been doing what you should be doing. You've not been trusting God as you should. Tonight is the night, dear brother, dear sister, that you say that from this moment on, life will be different. I no longer will plug through this life trying to do things my way, but I will submit and I will start living my life God's way. If that's you tonight, you've struggled with that, we'll pray with you tonight as well. But you got to make that known as well. Come to the front. Raise your hand. Make your request be made known tonight, not tomorrow. Together as we stand and sing, test, examine, and know yourselves, and can help in any way, make your request be made known.